Leaders.
Global finance. Credit crushed. How to prevent strong men from hijacking the fight against dodgy money.
Catching criminals across borders is hard. Court decisions made in one place may not be enforceable in another. Police powers are usually local and information sharing and extradition treaties are rare. To remedy this, the world's major powers have created institutions with mandates that cover much of the globe. The International Criminal Court, or ICC, investigates suspects for genocide, war crimes and other grave offences. Interpol issues red notices, which are akin to international arrest warrants. Perhaps the most obscure is the Financial Action Task Force, or FATF, which also has the hardest job stopping globe-trotting villains from moving money around the world. Unfortunately, these institutions are increasingly abused, and the FATF is no exception. Just as the ICC has become a venue for political lawfare and Interpol has made it easier for autocrats to have dissidents in exile arrested, so the FATF's mighty powers are being hijacked by strongmen looking for another way to crack down on their opponents, as we report this week. It is a sorry trajectory for an organisation with an important mission. The FATF must be reformed, or the global fight against dirty money will itself be corrupted. The FATF works by setting out 40 broad recommendations, covering everything from the monitoring of suspects to the blocking of dodgy funds. The idea is that states translate this into legislation and countries are then regularly assessed by peers and experts on how well they comply. As a result, the FATF has a longer arm than almost any other international organisation. Its invasive evaluations apply not just to its members, but to all states that agree to meet its standards, which means nearly every country in the world. Any that gets poor marks risks being cut off from the global banking system, hampering aid, trade and investment. Complying with the FATF's rules means imposing debilitating measures on those who are blacklisted, including financial snooping, asset freezes and even imprisonment. Yet countries need not provide much evidence incriminating their targets. Having noticed this loophole, strongmen are using the task force to co-opt Western institutions into impeding the financial activities of exiled dissidents, journalists and human rights advocates, who are often blameless. Politically motivated allegations end up in databases that Western banks use to screen clients. Abusers also hound their opponents at home under the pretense of complying with the FATF's goals. The list of countries hijacking the system includes the usual suspects, such as Belarus, Egypt and Zimbabwe. But many abuses are being carried out by democracies with strong men in charge, including India and Turkey. Banks cannot do much to prevent this. Those based in offending countries must obey domestic laws. Western lenders lack the means or expertise to assess the merits of accusations emanating from faraway shores. And victims themselves have only limited ways to challenge unfair accusations, whether through domestic courts or international forums. That is why the FATF itself needs reform. The cross-border powers it, in effect, hands to autocratic governments should be less sweeping. There should be limits on the duration of asset freezes, for example, and banks should not face penalties for unfreezing accounts once orders expire. The FATF could also depend less on governments by making it easier for individuals to report financial misdeeds themselves and investigate cases to ensure that they are well-founded. All this probably requires more resources. When the FATF was founded by the G7 in 1989, it was tasked only with stopping the laundering of drug money for a year. The headcount of its secretariat was 12, but it lived on and its remit today includes stopping funding for transnational crime, terrorism and the trafficking of superweapons. Yet the Secretariat has grown only to 40 staff. Bureaucracies are often captured by interests because they are large and unwieldy. With the FATF, its lack of manpower makes it easy to exploit because its edicts are vague and its processes are informal. The FATF could turn the tables on those who seek to abuse it. Its power stems in part from its ability to paint individual countries as risky destinations for foreign funds. Iran, Myanmar and North Korea are on its blacklist and largely cut off from global finance. Those placed on its grey list will often go to great lengths to get off it. As a deterrent, the FATF could report countries which have abused the system. It could also try to hold countries to higher standards regarding, say, the pre-trial detention of suspects. To the extent that the FATF has the power of coercion, democracy should influence autocrats, not the other way round.